Warning, the podcast you are about to hear is often based on true events and people. It chronicles the dialogue and actions of random, anonymous, obnoxious, self-entitled, unintelligent, self-centered idiots, attention whores, ignoramuses, dolts, clods, nimrods, douches, weirdos, drama queens, overly sensitive crybabies, and people who think they are better, more important, and more special than the rest of us. In other words, amateurs.
It's Amateur Nation with Lou Santini. We call attention to and call out the amateurs, the people who are doing life wrong, the speed bumps of life, the people that are in your way every day, the unintelligent, obnoxious, attention-whoring, self-entitled drama queen victim types who chip away at the moments of your life due to no self-awareness, common sense, manners, or social skills, and are disturbing the flow of the pros. Hi, Mom.
Oh, hey, Lou.
Amateur Nation, it's not just a podcast, it's a movement. Welcome to episode 82, Amateurs in the Time of Corona. All right, let's get to this part first. I, while realizing this is serious, of course, will not be living in fear. Nor will I propagate or perpetuate fear-mongering, irrational, rude, hostile, careless, and reckless behavior that is flooding the United States and the world. I would very much like to hear from my listeners in other parts of the world, and of course the United States, and if they see Amateur Nation showing its true colors. Share your stories, your frustrations, anything and everything goes, and it doesn't have to be about the coronavirus and the pandemic. Email me, lou@lousantini.com. Or you can call me on the Amateur Nation hotline and leave a message, 818-351-9263. That being said, while of course the coronavirus and the amateurs that make everything worse will continue to be folly for topics on this show, let me be clear, and I'm saying this in bold lettering, I don't want this to become the coronavirus podcast. We all need a breather now and then from it. I don't know about you, I'm already tired of saying the words coronavirus and pandemic and COVID and all the negative sounding words associated with it. Yes, of course, stay informed, but choose where you get your information carefully. The CDC and the World Health Organization are the only websites I trust. Avoid getting your information from social media. Avoid filling your head with the comments with the conspiracy theories and the amateurs on social media. If you have a TV news source, choose wisely, because I mentioned on Twitter, I haven't seen so much unprofessional journalism than I have since this all started. This show's focus remains the same: to call attention to and call out the amateurs. It just so happens their behavior is coronavirus related. There are plenty of other things to talk about that amateurs are mucking up, as always. And as always, I'll try to inject as much humor to go with the outrage and end the show on positive notes like I always do with three pro things. Here's what's happening in Amateur Nation. Topic number one. Okay, let's start with some more lighthearted, real-life encounters that I have had with amateurs, of course, at the grocery store during the pandemic. These are real. This was actually overheard at my grocery store. Doing this show, you got to realize new episodes air every Sunday morning. I usually schedule them around 7 a.m. California time, okay? I do realize that since this started, some information might already sound dated or incorrect or callous, and in no way, shape, or form do I mean it to be that way, like I'm not taking things seriously. Now, this instance actually happened to me when I went grocery shopping right when this all began, before everyone was walking around with face masks, before we knew to be 6 feet apart from each other, so I don't want you to think I'm just being careless, okay? But I was at my grocery store, and I see this woman. She was married because I saw her wedding ring. She's talking on her speakerphone. Of course, you're in public in a huge, panicked, irrational crowd. Why not broadcast your cacophony? And she's holding it, of course, like a pizza, flat in her hand, in front of her face to, I'm assuming, her husband. And she says these words, quote, "What about dish soap? Should we get dish soap? Can you even wash your hands with dish soap?" How hard do you think her husband bit his tongue? I think I could actually hear his eyes rolling over her speakerphone. Here's the bizarre part. This woman found a man willing to marry her and possibly insert himself into her and crank out children, possibly, who, if they have them, even they know that, yes, of course, you can wash your hands with dish soap. This woman lived this long without drinking Clorox or licking a cactus. Now, I admit I dropped the ball by not saying, no, do not get dish soap on your hands. I honestly think if I would have sold that hard enough, this amateur would have bought it. And yet, I'm single. Here's another story happened to me about, by the time you guys hear this episode, it would be about 2.5 weeks ago. I went to meet with my accountant to get my taxes done. And don't worry, he works in a private office and he was easily 6 feet away from me. And besides, who wants to cozy up next to their accountant anyway? Honestly, I've never been so excited to meet with my accountant just to get the hell out of the house. Anyway, on my way there, I was driving through my neighborhood in the rain, which in Los Angeles might as well be fire and knives coming from the sky, and they're also doing major sewage construction upgrading nearby, thereby causing some road closures in my neighborhood surrounded by plenty of heavy working equipment, bulldozers, steamrollers, that kind of thing. So, I get to the stop sign, it's 25-mile-an-hour road. I encounter a woman pushing an empty stroller while holding her newborn with not one, but two small dogs not on their leashes heading right for the construction equipment that is being used and is running. This amateur runs with a baby in her arms while dragging a loose stroller and two maniac dogs running in opposite directions. Now, normally I'm not one to say anything. As you do a spit take. Anyway, I rolled down my window, and of course, I say, hey, do you think it's a smart idea to have two small dogs off their leashes next to a steamroller and a bulldozer with your baby not in a stroller? I'm not making this up. Her reply was, oh, screw you, there's a pandemic. Yeah, I'm pausing while you say to yourself, what the hell does that got to do with anything, right? So I say that to her, and she says, the rules are all different now. Again, married. Some man said, yes, I want to be in that and make more of them with her. Made a baby, and yet I'm single. And because we're low on toilet paper and there's a germ virus, somehow it's okay for parents to now run amok in the streets with your dogs going bananas and also bring the kids. God, I miss bananas. Topic number two. I don't know if this counts as a topic for Amateur Nation or one of three pro things, but I'm putting it on this. Here it goes. This is from the Today Show website. Here's your headline. Costco will not allow returns on high demand items like toilet paper, water, and more. Duh. As millions of people rush to stock up on goods amid the ongoing coronavirus pandemic, Costco is starting to take hoarding seriously. Starting. Amateur behavior breeds more amateur behavior. The article goes on to say, signs seen at various Costco locations have indicated that many stores will not be accepting returns for high-demand items like toilet paper, bottled water, and sanitizing wipes, which have all recently flown off store shelves across the country. Instagram accounts that keep track of developments at Costco but are not affiliated with the company have recently posted photos of signs at different locations listing items that will not be accepted as returns. The items, as I said, are toilet paper, paper towels, sanitizing wipes, water, rice, and Lysol. It's unclear whether this is now a company-wide policy or one that has only been instituted by individual locations. A representative from Costco was not immediately available for comment. Other grocery chains like Kroger and Walmart have limited their hours to deal with high demand. It bears repeating. Once again, if you hoard, you're an amateur. The karmic debt you owe will be a tough one to pay. If you know someone who has hoarded, end the relationship. Whether they're a friend, a coworker, a family member, and I'm serious. You know why? Because you know what that says? That says not only can you not count on them for real help and support during this time or any time, they have shown they would sell out everything that makes a human compassionate, thoughtful, caring, respectful, and humane. Is that someone you ever want to talk to or spend time with again? They literally are stealing from you, from us. What, because they purchased these items that makes it okay? Yeah, and they're either denying the public, especially those in need, the young, the elderly, the sick, the people with compromised immune systems, and thereby causing more panic, stress, illness, and possibly death, not to mention the expense of having to spend more elsewhere in the desperate search for simple necessities. They are no different than looters who are also opportunistic. They deserve zero consideration. And what's more, please remember these amateurs during the next crisis, whatever it may be. Some people get sad hearing these stories, others get angry, like me. But that anger is short-lived with me, because I always knew these amateurs existed, and I'm never surprised by an amateur's behavior. We shun them now and forever once this is over, and let them live in a world where they feel isolated from society, even when there's no need to be once this pandemic is over. It's one thing to feel isolated because we all are or have to be temporarily isolated right now. But if we, the pros, can make sure to isolate and insulate ourselves from these amateurs once this pandemic is over, then they can find themselves with all the supplies they need and no one to talk to or celebrate the end of this once it's over. Topic number 3. From yahoonews.com, police department urges residents who have run out of toilet paper to stop calling 911. These are amateurs that are too stupid to live. They're too stupid to live. We don't need them. All right, here's the article. An Oregon police department is dealing with an odd emergency of its own during the coronavirus outbreak. That is, too many people calling 911 because they've run out of toilet paper. The Newport Police Department stated, "It's hard to believe that we even have to post this." No, it's not. Maybe it might be hard for you guys to believe, but I was waiting for this. The department wrote on its Facebook page, "Do not call 911 just because you ran out of toilet paper. You will survive without our assistance." The police department listed some toilet paper alternatives out of history, citing the fact that both Mayans and colonial-era Americans used corn cobs. I don't even want to try to guess how that happens. Are the police in Oregon trying to be funny? Because I love the sarcasm. And if they're being serious, I don't want to try corn cobs. For what it's worth, bidets, the bathroom appliance that sprays water in its user's rear, are also gaining in popularity. In any case, the Newport Police Department advises residents to be, quote, resourceful and patient during these tough times. They wrote, "There's a TP shortage. This too shall pass. Just don't call 911. We cannot bring you toilet paper." I would say hug a cop, but of course we can't get close enough. But I could never be a policeman during this or any era. People are just too amateur. Time now for what I would normally call 60 seconds. But again, I'm going to do 120 seconds to bring some much needed levity to this situation. Start the timer. So I guess the 5-second rule is done. You know, I watched some porn yesterday just so I could finally remember people in close contact with hugging and kissing. Everything else was just gravy. All right, so bad choice of words. Don't watch A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood with Tom Hanks, the movie about Mr. Rogers, if you're trying to conserve tissue. Oh man, it's a tearjerker. So having just watched A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, which I highly recommend, I realize now that when Mr. Rogers sang his goodbye theme song, he exits his own home looking at you, the camera, inside his own house, the neighbor. So you leave your neighbors inside your own home when you exit? And me, the neighbor, is already inside Mr. Rogers' home when he arrives? I don't understand the casual viewing category of programs on Netflix. I mean, am I supposed to watch all these movies and shows with a smirk on my face? Dear Febreze, you couldn't have put antibacterial and antiviral in your shit? I mean, seriously, even like the scented, fragranced Lysols all smell horrible. They're very medicine-y and they go in your throat and yuck. All the Febrezes smell pretty good, right? So why would it have been that hard to add antibacterial to Febreze? Finish the job. I just picture like the guy at the Febreze lab, you know, going, "That smells nice. That's good enough. Yeah, but boss, I could actually put some antibacterial stuff right here. We just could put that in." You know what? Fuck them. Let them buy Lysol. I hope this ends soon. Since this started, I've gained 53 pounds. If this pandemic has taught manufacturers and advertisers anything, it has shown them which brands are popular and which are not. Note to self, when this is all over, do not propose to the first woman who smiles at me. All right, time now for 3 pro things. Let's end the show on some positivity. 3 things that are done right. Number 1. Okay, let's be honest. You're inside all day, or at least way more than usual. Maybe you live alone like I do, or at the very least find yourself having way more alone time, if you know what I mean. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Well, good news from the website BigThink.com. Here's your headline. Masturbation boosts your immune system, helping you fight off infection and illness. These bullet points: achieving orgasm through masturbation provides a rush of feel-good hormones such as dopamine, serotonin, and oxytocin, and can rebalance our levels of cortisol, which is a stress-inducing hormone. This helps our immune system function at a higher level. Also, the surge in feel-good hormones also promotes a more relaxed and calm state of being, making it easier to achieve restful sleep, which is a critical part in maintaining a high-functioning immune system. Just as bad habits can slow your immune system, positive habits, such as a healthy sleep schedule and active sex life, can help boost your immune system, which can prevent you from becoming sick. Masturbation boosts your immune system and raises your white blood cell count. Masturbation can ease and prevent pain, which allows you to achieve the restful sleep that helps your immune system stay strong and healthy. I think you get the message here, but one last thing. Despite this being an article based on real science and medicine and having no nudity or graphic language, Facebook denied me my post about it, which is amateur. But yeah, keep sending me ads to have my pet portrayed as a king in a cheap painting. Keep sending me the same ads over and over again. Keep sending me bad information, allowing amateurs to post their conspiracy theories and their fear-mongering and their fake videos. Yeah, but don't let me post a positive ad that is backed by science with no foul language nor nudity that would actually brighten people's days. Dicks. Number two. Now look, we all know I'm a car guy. I love the NHRA, and I literally just found out right before I started recording this podcast that the NHRA, barring anything else coming down the line, will be returning June 5th. I'm not ashamed to admit that I will be crying. I cannot wait to see racing again so much. When I hear that Top Fuel, I'm going to bawl my brains out. And I've mentioned information from an article by the magazine National Dragster and the writer Luke Bagacki many times before on this podcast. He has an often appearing column called The Science of Winning. Here is another great one with the subtitle, Honest Performance Evaluation is Tricky. Now, I won't bore you with drag racing terms and details, but feel free to substitute your favorite sport that you play or even think about. Anything you think about winning, even if it's your job or your career. Drag racing, like many sports and life, does come down to the little things. You always hear about how, like, the NFL, like, this is a game of inches. It's those little things that make the difference. Now, in the article, Luke talks about having met legendary poker player Annie Duke and her book called Thinking in Bets. He says, if you're interested in making better decisions and analyzing those decisions with clarity, check it out. She says in her book, there are exactly two things that determine how our lives turn out. One, the quality of our decisions, and two, luck. Learning to recognize the difference between the two is what Thinking in Bets is all about. The article states, the problem is we tend to place far too much emphasis on our outcomes and draw overly simplified conclusions from them. For example, in drag racing, if we lose, oh, we're awful. Win, oh, we're awesome. What gets lost is the nuance in between. Annie Duke goes on to point out the differences between chess and poker. She says, chess is a game of definition. With proper study, there is a correct play or decision with every move. When a chess player loses, he or she can trace back and see their mistake and pinpoint the exact instant where they made a poor decision. In poker, the variables are not as definable. She says, poker hands are decided by a combination of skill and luck. And even after the hand is played, the variables aren't always known. It can be hard to determine what percentage of a win or loss can be attributed to skill and what percentage can be attributed to luck. She says, chess isn't a great model for decision-making in life, since in life, most decisions involve hidden information and a much greater influence of luck. Now, Luke Bagacki, the author of the article, goes on to talk about how this applies to drag racing. But honestly, this is a life lesson. Listen carefully. He says, we tend to chalk up winning to our immense skill and our losing to bad luck. In reality, every outcome is a mixture of both. We think, if I win because of skill, I outskilled my opponent. If I lost because of luck, my opponent must have been luckier. This keeps us from properly evaluating the effectiveness of our decisions. Our skill. The result is we don't learn from our experiences very well. He concluded the article with this. He says, the saying goes, in drag racing that is, I either win or I learn. He says, let's amend the saying. Those ideas aren't mutually exclusive. Go to your next race to win and to learn. Damn, that's good. Number three. Now, before I share this one, I should tell you the impetus of it. I saw a commercial for a new Nissan, I think the Sentra, Altima, whatever. And the driver tells her passenger, the driver, by the way, is Brie Larson, who, oh, man, when she smiles, holy hell. Anyway, all right, focus, Lou. She's driving this new Nissan, and there's a woman in the passenger seat, and she actually says the words, watch this, and drives way too fast in reverse towards a brick wall, and the passenger says, Brie, Brie, Brie. And then, of course, the car stops because of the automatic braking. That could be one of the most irresponsible things I've ever seen in a commercial. Monkey see, monkey do. Amateur see, amateur do. Give it time. Now, this pro thing comes from an article from Car and Driver magazine entitled Broken Dreams. The article says automakers and suppliers are being increasingly honest about the challenges of autonomous driving. In 2016, Mark Fields, then the CEO of Ford, said they intended to have robot taxis on the road by the year 2021. And that building a computer that can match our abilities as humans is extremely difficult and expensive. The article says years of research and development are needed before level 4 autonomy, in which the car can safely perform all driving tasks, but only in limited areas, is accessible to consumers. Once again, years of research and development are needed before we're even close to that. Thanks to numerous deaths from autonomous cars, companies have adjusted their self-driving timelines. After 2 years of collaboration, Magna broke off its partnership with Lyft to co-develop an autonomous vehicle. Nissan has admitted that it's unlikely to produce self-driving cars before the end of the decade. GM, which had promised to see an autonomous vehicle by 2019, hasn't even updated their projection. And frankly, besides the Corvette and the Camaro, which has a boatload of blind spots and I think is an ugly car, but it's a beast to drive, they can't even get regular cars right. I mean, really, master gas-powered cars first and even electric vehicles first before you let the car start driving itself, you nitwits. Here's the next level stupidity. Uber and their motto, are you alive? Then you can drive, told CNBC that the company would consider vehicles that can operate without human intervention on predetermined right-turn-only routes as part of its self-driven fleet. Oh, yeah, I'm ready to get in. Look, Mom, no brains. All right, so like I said, this show will not become the coronavirus podcast. I'm going to try my best to inject other stories from Amateur Nation that amateurs do that are not coronavirus related. But in the meantime, leave your comments and questions and any reports of coronatures on the Amateur Nation hotline, 818-351-9263. With 13 different platforms to hear this show, you have zero excuses not to hear it. It is the podcast you need, and it's not just a podcast, it's a movement. Go to Amazon to download my book, Amateur Nation, The Decline of Common Sense, Manners, and Social Skills, or send them to lucyantini.com, where you can find all my social media, and you can email me there too. Remember, amateurs, we see you. You're not at home, even when you're at home. Don't do life wrong. Go pro. Don't be an amateur. For Amateur Nation, I'm Lou Santini, and this has been a Big Major production.
Thanks, Lou. We'll see you next week.